Hello and welcome to an Australian Family Physician online podcast. I'm Zara Margolis. Dr. Amy Panay is the author of the article, Alcohol, Prevention, Policy and Primary Care Responses, which features in the June 2014 edition of Australian Family Physician.
Dr. Amy Panay, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You as well. Heavy drinking or drinking in general seems to be extremely normalised in Australia's current society. Why do you think this is?
I think there are probably numerous reasons. There's lots of sort of social, cultural, economic factors at play if something's becoming normalised. One of the main points that we make in this article is that the deregulation of liquor licensing has resulted in a proliferation of cafes, restaurants, nightclubs, bars, hotels that sell alcohol, and also a proliferation of bottle shops. So you can get access to alcohol almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is one of the things that the alcohol industry has done to effectively normalise alcohol. A few other things that the alcohol industry has been responsible for is pushing a lot of alcohol advertising. There's billboards, we see it on our TV, we see it on, we see it at sports events, we see it at music festivals. And so we really are saturated with messages about alcohol, sort of no matter where we look.
What would you say then are some of the social costs that can be associated with Australia's high drinking culture?
There's been a few economic studies which explore the cost of alcohol in society, and they range from about $15 billion a year up to $36 billion a year. And the harms that we see from alcohol range from things like affecting the way, doing something you're embarrassed about the next day, for example, something as mild as sort of regret or shame, all the way to, liver cirrhosis at the pointy end. So we see a range of social and physical costs from alcohol, and we see that, most Australians are touched by alcohol in some way. A recent report that Turning Point was involved in showed that 28.5% of people have been adversely affected by the drinking of a household member in the last 12 months, and nearly 50% by the drinking of acquaintances or strangers. So alcohol really is affecting everybody in some way or another.
A lot of the previous research or evidence you mentioned in your article, it indicates that there are many things that could be done to reduce alcohol consumption levels in Australia. What are some of those things or strategies that could be put in place?
Yeah, so I work at the Centre for Alcohol Policy Research at Turning Point, and a lot of our work is focused on what particular policies are effective in reducing alcohol-related harms. And the evidence is really clear that the policies that work are those that restrict the accessibility and availability of alcohol at a population level, so not policies that tend to target the individual. We see governments increasingly relying on policies such as, banning a particular drinker from a venue or punishing the bad apple, addressing or the king hit rule is another very current policy that governments are bringing in. But this is essentially only going to influence one or two people. It's not going to influence sort of the population at a broader level. And we know from the research evidence that the policies that work are things that can stop people getting access to alcohol, like reducing trading hours, raising the cost of alcohol, and reducing the density of outlets. But they're not generally implemented by governments for a range of reasons. First, because they are politically unpalatable. The alcohol industry has strong relationships with the government. The government doesn't want to be perceived as a nanny state. And community members don't want their access to alcohol restricted. So there are a range of reasons why these kind of policies at work don't end up getting put into place.
What are some other things that could be done then to tackle this problem if these other policies aren't palatable on a political level, as you mentioned?
Well, we would encourage governments to implement the things that work and to address the barriers to why they're unpalatable. And so we're not saying that you should restrict licensed venues being open at all. We're just saying that perhaps being open till 7 a.m. Isn't the best best way to get people home safely. And then you've got things around the edge of that that might be useful, like increased enforcement of policies. So there are some policies in place, like responsible serving of alcohol, and that we know that are effective if they're enforced. But police are, you know, obviously very busy and don't have the resources to go into venues and to be monitoring how licensees are selling liquor. So there are a range of things that governments and government bodies such as police and licensing inspectors could be doing. It's just about making alcohol more of a priority, I think, for the government. And at the moment, it seems to be fairly low as a priority for them.
What role then can GPs play in building strategies for identifying problematic alcohol consumption?
I think the GP has a really powerful role, especially because they're seeing a large number of population who either unaware that they're drinking at hazardous levels or are unwilling to seek help for their drinking. And so opportunistically asking patients who are accessing GPs about something else, about their alcohol, could be a really useful way of getting people talking about their consumption, informing them about safe levels of drinking as per the NHMRC guidelines, and giving them more information if it's identified that they're drinking hazardously.
In your article, you also identify some popular activities that have been used in the past in an attempt to break the cycle of regular drinking. Could you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so we've just noticed there's been sort of increasing traction recently in terms of having a period of abstinence or seeking a period of time off from drinking. And the most popular one of those is FebFast, which is really becoming quite popular, especially amongst young women. And so this involves not drinking for the entire month of February. And there's been another couple of months that have been due to the success of FebFast that have sort of picking up on this. So there's Dry July and Sober October as well, if for some reason February doesn't suit. People want to do more than 1 month a year. And there's another program called Hello Sunday Morning, which is also very popular, which is started by a gentleman in New South Wales. And he has suggested a period of abstinence from drinking really helped change his life. And he's encouraged other people to give a period of abstinence a go and then share their views on this website, which is hellosundaymorning.org. And by sharing your views and chatting with other people who are attempting the same period of abstinence, people can really change their perceptions and the role that alcohol plays in their life. And we think that it's probably a good suggestion for GPs to encourage people to give this a go and reflect on the pervasive role alcohol plays in their lives.
What would you say would be the next step then for GPs who identify in their patients perhaps drinking levels that are beyond that those that could be easily altered with events like Dry July or Sober October and things like that?
So if the GPs find that somebody is drinking dependently or requires more help than the GP can give them, they should consult an addiction medicine specialist or a drug and alcohol service. And each state and territory in Australia has a range of drug and alcohol services. Depending on the individual, they might be willing to access online treatment, which is available, or they might prefer to see an online counsellor or access telephone counselling. But there are a range of drug and alcohol services that can treat more dependent patients if the GP feels that having a period of abstinence or reducing drinking isn't plausible for the individual.
What would you say then is the main take-home message of this article?
I guess the message we wanted to emphasise in this article was that while alcohol is a socially acceptable drug and some people use it moderately and gain a lot of benefits from it, and I certainly don't want to underplay that. I'm certainly not saying everybody should stop drinking altogether. But we wanted to raise the point that alcohol does affect a lot of people. Sometimes it's not just the individual, but it's a drug that affects others. And there are things that GPs can be doing. There are things that the government can be doing. And it's time for both GPs and governments to act to reduce the huge social costs from alcohol in Australian society.
Dr. Penney, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Amy Penney's article Alcohol Prevention Policy and Primary Care Responses in the June 2014 edition of Australian Family Physician, as well as online at www.racgp.org.au/AFP.